Anybody put up with me is bound to be good people. Amen. That's right. Amen. I appreciate you. And it's been good already to be here. I just want to try to obey the Lord for just a few minutes tonight. I know it's getting late and the time's wearing on, and it's we've been here. Amen. Say that again. Amen, brother. All right. But I just want to try to be led of the Lord tonight. I won't keep you real long, but something the Lord's laid on my heart in Psalm number 51. This is probably one of the most, if you read this, and I'm sure you have, probably one of the most, if you read it over and over and just look at it and read the psalm and read between the lines, one of the most heartbreaking psalms that you'll ever read. This has come from the heart of a man that's life is broken. Yeah. His life is just shattered, and his heart's broke, and his life's a mess. This is a man that's the greatest, one of the great. Did you know that David's name is mentioned more in the Bible than any other man's name in the Word of God except Jesus Christ? As a matter of fact, according to the Bible, Jesus is of the lineage of David. And when he comes back, he'll ascend the throne of his father David. There's nobody like David in the whole Word of God. But if you'll read your Bible, you'll find out, you know as well as I do, David did something he shouldn't have done. He saw a woman one day that he shouldn't have looked at. He had some thoughts he shouldn't have had. He done some things he shouldn't have done. And he followed through with some sin he shouldn't have followed through with. And brother, it costed him to the day he died. And it stuck, it put a blemish on his name. And it's been on his name for thousands of years. And it'll be on there forever. And this is after this psalm was written, I believe after the preacher came in. And by the way, that's when real conviction sets in, is when a good God-called Holy Ghost-filled Bible preacher points that finger in your face and preaches to you and lays conviction on you, and then you're in trouble. Amen? In Psalm number 51, David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read the rest of it, but I'll touch on it just briefly. I'm not going to preach long. But I want you to understand something tonight, that you can be, I want to preach on this tonight, or this evening, I want to preach on being near to the Lord. That's what David was trying to accomplish here as he laid prostrate and broken before God. As God revealed to David, as Nathan gave the little parable about the lamb and the man that stole the lamb, you know, and David said, "Bless God, let it be restored fourfold." Nathan said, "Is that right?" And David said, "Yes." He said, "You're the man." And brother, conviction fell on that king and his countenance fell. And he said, Oh God, I'm in trouble. This thing is known." And brother, he said, "God, I want to be restored. I want to get back the way it used to be." He said, got to thinking back. He said, "Lord, before all this happened, I remember a day when I sat over yonder and watched the sheep. And God, you gave me some of this poetry. I'd write songs and write poems and I'd play my harp. And God, I'd play with the sling. And I did all these things. And God, the fellowship's broken. It just ain't like it used to be." I want to tell you something tonight, brother and sister. You can get back near to the Lord like you once was. The Bible said over the book of James chapter 4, he said, "Draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you." God's just as far away today as you want him to be. He's also just as close as you need him to be. If you need something from God today, bless God, you don't have to trying to do. He said here a few things. He said, wash me, cleanse me, purge me, deliver me, and restore me. David knew he was in trouble. I'll give you a few things that I see here in this chapter of a pitiful predicament this man's in. You know the story how after this happened and Nathan told him, he said, David, he said, you can pray. He said, pray for me. He said, God will forgive you. But he said, there's going to be a sword on your house from this day on. And as a matter of fact, David prophesied it. He said, let it be restored fourfold. And guess how many of his kids went down in the grave? Four of them, brother. I want to tell you something tonight, brother and sister. You can get back right with God, but it's going to take something. It's going to take some repentance. It's going to take something to get close to God. If you can get close to God, but you're going to have to want to, and you're going to have to try and make an effort and pray and seek the face of Almighty God. I want to say, first of all, He's near. The Lord's still near. Now the Lord, the fellowship was broken. But He was still near David once David did some things, and this is what he did. Verse 1 through 4, the Lord is near to them that are broken. Verse 1 through 4, David said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. He said, God, everywhere I look, I see my sin. He said, every time I look at somebody, my conscience bothers me. I wonder if they know what I did. Every time I look at somebody's face, I wonder, does he know about that woman I took? Listen, as a matter of fact, if you think about it, brother, it's pretty low down when a man steals another man's wife and then it ain't bad enough you go out and have her husband killed and then you cover it up. Hide it. Brother, that's worse than stealing, brother. I mean, that's as low as it gets. I mean, we're talking about a man that's a king, a man that's wealthy, a man that owns it all, and to steal that way. Oh, brother, he knew he was had. He knew he was caught. But I want to tell you, God, today, He's near those that's broken. I want to tell you today, God, brother, God loves a broken spirit. There's something about God. I can't explain it. I can't really fully understand it. But when you're broken before Him, God will forgive you. I've never seen anybody come to God and get right with God that wasn't broken. I've never seen anybody come to God chewing gum and blowing bubbles and get right with God. I've never seen it happen. But brother, I've seen them come to God. I've seen them run down the aisle. And I've seen them cry. And I've seen them blow snot bubbles. I've seen them cry a puddle of tears. And I've seen them change, brother. I've seen God work a miracle in their lives. Oh, brother, I want to tell you something. He's close. And He's near to them that are broken. I remember the night I got saved. Oh, my brother, I was a broken shell of a man. I wasn't but 20 years old. But I was ready to stick a gun to my head and kill myself. And I fell on my knees and said, God, is there any hope? Is there really any hope? I've heard Daddy preach about it. I've heard Mama sing about it. But God, is it real? Oh, God flooded my soul. And God saved me. I want you to know God is not to them that are of a broken spirit. He said, I know I'm a sinner. He said, I know I stole her. He said, I know that woman laying there in the bed really ain't mine. I know that man laying down there in the cemetery is dead. And I know his blood's dripping off my hands. He said, God, I can't hide it. That's what you're going to have to do too. You have to quit playing around with God. You have to quit playing games and quit trying to hide your sin and come clean, because He's nigh to them that are broken. Number two, He's nigh to them that are bound. I want you to look at verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin. My mother did conceive me. Here's what I mean about being bound. David didn't have to be taught to do what he did. Nobody had to take David and say, now David, let me take you under my wing here. Now if you really want that woman, let me tell you what you need to do.
Yeah.
The way you do this is, if you'll flirt with her a little bit
and you just kind of flatter her, she'll start like, he didn't have to. It was just in his system, you see. It just became natural. I'm trying to tell you something. Listen, these little boys and little girls in this church tonight, they'll get up here and sing in the choir, and God bless them and God love them. We got some of the best young people in our church, but I want to tell you something. They're bound by sin. They're walking around this atomic body, and brother, it's bound by sin. And if you don't keep it under check and under control, bless God, it'll take over. It'll ruin your life.
He's nigh unto them that are bound. The Bible said that in the book of Ephesians said it was without no hope and without God in the world. Sinning came easy. That's what I'm talking about being bound. David was a slave. He just came out. You know, people talk about emancipation and getting freed. I know what they're talking about. I ain't a black man, but I know what they're talking about. I never owned slaves. My people were so poor, they probably was slaves. They didn't own none. I don't own none of them, nothing. We couldn't afford slaves. We barely could own a hound dog. Amen. What are you scared of? Scared to say amen. God help us. This ain't a Clinton rally. It's a Baptist church, for God's sake. But I know what they're talking about, being a slave. I used to be the same way. I had shackles on my feet, handcuffs on my hands. I did what this world said do. I dressed the way they said dress. And brother, I wore my hair the way they said wear it. I did the things they said do. But I want to tell you, God's near to them that's bound, and He'll set you free. I said He'll set you free. Jesus Christ will emancipate you today. David was a slave and didn't know it. Sinning came easy. After he went and got that woman and slept with her, I mean, he thought, wow, that wasn't hard at all. All I did was sin for her. Went to bed with her. She's mine. Her husband got in the way, got that straightened out. Everything's pretty smooth. What I'm trying to say is sin comes easy because you're a born sinner. You're a sinner by nature. Then you're a sinner by choice. And after a while, you're a sinner by habit. It just comes so much a part of who you are. That's why people cuss and talk the way they do. It's a part of their natural vocabulary. They cuss so much, they don't even know they're cussing. He's nigh to them that are broken. Nigh to them that are bound. Number three, He's nigh to them that believe. Look at verse 6. He said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part and end. The hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He said, purge me with hyssop. He said, purge me with hyssop. You know what He's talking about, don't you? That's what they took. They took that plant and dipped it in the blood and applied it to the doorpost down in Egypt. God said, if you'll do that, I'll set you free and let you out. He said, I know if you'll do that, I shall be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Listen, God is near to them that believe. That's the key, brother. You got to have faith, Brother Cody's preaching about it. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Hey, if you know some of the stuff I've done, you'd get up right now and get your pocketbook, get your kids, and make a run for the door. So that stuff don't fly, brother. Those old preachers, you just don't know what I've done. Oh, bull. I about cussed right there. You don't know what some of us preachers has done. Some of us this week, probably. Especially him. Ain't that right, Brother Rick? That's why we carry guns, just keep protection from Cody. But you got to believe. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. That's the only thing Candace was singing about that thief on the cross. Brother, that's the only thing that got him through the glory world. That's the only thing that got him shot through the portals of heaven. Once he looked over at the darling Lamb of God, as the blood trickled down his face from the crown of thorns, as he was hanging there from the nails that he nailed to the cross, he said, would you remember me? He said, I'll do better than that. I'll take you with me. That old thief believed it, brother. Have you just believe God, He'll be nearer to you today. Amen. If you don't believe it, don't bother coming to the altar.
That's right.
I mean, you can save some steps and stay where you're at. David said, purge me with hyssop. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. He said, Lord, if you'll just wash me, I know I can get right. I know my sin's ever before me, but I know, God, if you'll wash me, cleanse me, I know I can be clean again. I know I can be right. You know what David's saying? I can't undo it, God. I can't dig your eye. I can't dig your eye to hit that buck up out of the ground. I can't unadulterize with that woman. I can't undo this mess. You can't unscramble eggs. Oh, but I want to tell you what, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Number four, he's near to them that are backslid. Verse 8 said this, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David was just plain old backslid. Did you know? I've been in this longer than last week. Some of the most backslidden people are people come to church every Sunday. I had a preacher tell me one time, Brother Danny, he said, the most backslid I ever been was when I was in Bible college. Studying the Bible and taking tests and writing exams. But he's doing it for the wrong reason. Follow me? I want to tell you something. He's near them and are backslid. But you got to get right. That's the whole key. What David's trying to do here is get things right. Get it right, brother. Get it right, sister. And God will straighten things out. And you and Him will come back together. And He'll restore you and bring the joy back. And you can have those tears rolling down your face again. And you can have that peace of God. And you can have that sweet victory. And you can have that honey Brother Daddy was preaching about. And thank God, brother, things can be real in your soul again. He said, the bones of that house broken. Here's what I think that means. The Bible don't say this, but this is runiology. Here's what I think it means. Since I'm the one doing the preaching, this is what it means. When you preach, you can say what it means. When it talks to bones that thou hast broken, that signifies something physical. In my opinion, it's not talking about something spiritual. I believe what he's saying there, Lord, this sin's took such a toll on me, it's affecting me physically even. It's draining me down. It's not only got me where I don't have any joy anymore. It's affecting my health. It's affecting my mental health. And that's affecting my physical health. You know what sin will do to people? Brother, I've been preaching for over 30 years and been pastoring about most of that time. And I've watched people go downhill, Brother Danny. I've seen the lines in their face. And I've seen them. I've seen them. I've seen their countenance. I've watched them. And I've looked at them. And I looked at them and studied them. And I can tell when they got sin in their life. And I can tell something ain't right. And they go downhill little by little. It's almost like they got a disease. And brother, if they don't get that thing right, it'll take a toll on them physically. David said, this thing's breaking me. It's killing me. He's near them that are backslid. And last I want to say, number 5 is in verse 13. He's nigh to them that benefit. Look at verse 13. After he talked about getting right with God and getting cleansed and confessing his sin and getting cleaned up, first word in that verse says, then. You know why you can't get people to go soul winning? They ain't right with God. People get right with God, you don't have to beg them to go. They'll come go. Amen? I mean, you don't have to beg them to get in the choir when they get right with God. They'll get in the choir. We got more in our choir than we got out there. We ain't got nobody to sing to. Ain't that pitiful? And not all of them in the choir can really sing, but don't tell them. I said, about them, just move your mouth, brother. You don't have to sing. Amen? But here's the benefit, brother. David said, once I get right with God, I know I can help other people. I know there's people out there lost and undone and are dying lost without God. Once I get right with God, I know I'll be a benefit to somebody.
You're right.
When I'm backslid, I can't help nobody. You get right with God, you'll be a benefit, first of all, to the sinner. Look at verse 13. He said, then will I teach who? Transgressors. David said, Lord, if I can get right, I can use my sorry situation to help other people. Brother Sam gave his testimony in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, trying to help some of these young people. Don't go down that road, kids. Then will I teach transgressors. You'll be a benefit to the sinner. Verse 14, 15, and 16, deliver me from blood guiltless, O God, thou God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness, so much for not shouting out loud, huh? Oh, Lord, open thou my lips and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. You'll be a benefit to the Savior. Once I get right, God, I'll have my shout back. I'll be a benefit to the sinner. I'll be a benefit to the Savior. I'll get in church and I won't be damned no more. The preacher won't have to take a cattle prod to get something out of me. Now, some of you sitting there right now, you're so dead, you're pitiful. Some of you, when you get to heaven, if you go, they're going to have to put you in a class to teach you how to shout.
a shout training class. Been to go to church all your life and won't even grunt. I hope if your kids play ball and they have a home run, I hope you get laryngitis and can't shout.
Amen.
Amen. I hope if your kids get to play baseball and make it to the World Series, you get the flu and you're in the hospital, can't go.
Amen.
Ain't that right, brother? Preaching his lungs out, you just sit there like this.
We got
fried chicken out there, brother. So what? Amen. Listen, brother, you'll be a benefit to the sinner and a benefit to the Savior. Did you know when people shout and worship God? Listen, God will love it. God will love it. God's sitting up there right now. He's saying, that's right, preach it, son. Did you know the Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of reason? Some of y'all ain't liking what I'm saying. I don't care. I'm 52 years old. I've been doing this a long time. I might not make it much longer. I simply don't care anymore. My church loves me. They take care of me. They pay me pretty good. I ain't bragging too much because I'd like to get a raise. Amen. So I ain't going to brag too much. Preach on, brother. But here's what I'm trying to say, my dear brother. Listen, if we ought to do everything we can to try to be a benefit. Listen, God will love it. And God loves preaching. God loves shouting. And God loves worship. God will love it and the devil will hate it. I hate to get to the judgment seat of Christ and not done one thing that ticked the devil off. Well, we notice your record here, Mr. Wilcox. You preached over 30 years. You've done pretty good, but I can't find any record where you made the devil mad. You know what I did one time? Right after 9/11, I told my church this one time. I got Ronnie to get me in the back of my truck. I got in the back of my pickup truck and went out here to Beaufort, one of the busiest Walmarts in America. That place is busy. Oh, that's the craziest place I've ever seen. I'm just calling all them military people or what? You go 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't get in the place. 9/11 happened on like a Tuesday, wasn't it, or Monday. That following Saturday, I got the back of my truck on a toolbox with a megaphone, a big one in with a battery, and I said, drive around through here, had my toothbrush and toothpaste in my back pocket because I knew they was going to arrest me. After that terrorist attack, I said, there ain't no way they ain't going to arrest me. You know, I said, I know I'm going to get in trouble. But I really felt burdened about it. I took that bullhorn. I said, hey, what if the son of Bin Laden did? Ain't nothing compared to what the Antichrist is going to do. I started preaching. I said, look, it's like what you're talking about. And I went around one loop. Roddy was scared to death. He looked through the slide and that's when he said, what are you going to do now? I said, take another trip. He went around another. He was nervous as a, Tom, Sister Brenda. I went around again. I preached again with a bullhorn now. I knew I was going to get caught. I bet we made 10 trips and never did get the police. The more I went, the more I preached. But here's the point I'm trying to make. I liked at least once or twice in my life know that I did something that made the devil mad. God will love it and the devil will hate it. And guess what? You might enjoy it. You'll be surprised how much you might enjoy yourself. You'll be a benefit to the sinner and to the Savior. Look at verse 18 and I'm done. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. That's the first time he's mentioned Zion, the church, or Israel in this whole passage. All he's talked about is self the whole time. But it's if I can just get right with God, I'll teach transgressors. And then he starts talking about building the walls of Zion.
Amen.
I'll start going to church again. I'll start getting right with God again. I'll be a benefit to somebody. Amen? Listen, brother, you ain't a benefit to anybody when you're out of the will of God. But when you start drawing nigh to God and you get your life clean and you start getting right and you start getting the honey back in the honeymoon and you and the Lord's back on the same page and you're back in fellowship with Him, you'll be a benefit to everybody.